God and Jesus, and they have fun. And thank you, Miss Shannon, for doing that. Children's Church today. I also want to thank this church for being patient with me as I went through and got my degree. And praise the Lord, I'm done for a while. I am going to start probably pretty soon a doctoral program, but it'll be more online where I won't have to go away so much for my schooling, but it'll be fun. Now that I finally learned how to learn, now I might as well keep going. And so it's been a lot of fun, and thank you all for that. Good Memorial Day weekend. Probably have plans, but today we're going to have a Lord's Supper, but I'm going to give you a sermonette, kind of share with you where we're going to go. We're going to open the Word of God to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to do a little sermonette because I think God has shown me this, that we need to do this to prepare for the Lord's Supper. We're going to do the Lord's Supper, but before we do that, we're going to have a time of kind of an invitation, a time of call where people can reflect on where they're at with God, because the Bible tells us clearly to be careful before we take the Lord's Supper and reflect. And after we do that, we're going to take an offering and then have the Lord's Supper. I just wanted to tell you that we're going to take the offering before the Lord's Supper. We're going to end in very reverent time of fellowship with you and God, creating that bond between you and God and other people around you as we have the Lord's Supper. And we also want to be in prayer and thankful for this place. This will be our last time in this place, and it's been good for us, but we also go through the doors that God opens as we continue to grow, and I thank you for that. In the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 6, and if you've been with me in any of my men's Bible studies or just around me a lot, you'll know that I love 2 Kings, and I love to read the stories that are told in the Bible in a way that they're drawn in pictures, and 2 Kings is one of these that I love to read. And really this morning, I'm basically going to read this passage to you, kind of break it down just a little bit, share 2 points, and move right into the Lord's Supper, a time of reverence where we reflect upon ourselves. So as I share today, think about these words and be in prayer that God would open your eyes and help you to see what He wants you to see. I'm also using King James today. Went out, I forgot I could just print it out on my computer and bring a paper, so I went out and bought a Bible, and it's kind of like a pink-purple. So I'm going to read it out of this today, and then I'll be giving this to whoever would like this Bible afterwards, because I bought several of them, and I want to start giving Bibles away again. So if you need a Bible, let me know, and you'll get this one. It says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, I'm going to read 1 through 6, and then we'll wait and talk about 7 in a minute. It says, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." In the old King James, that would mean in Hebrew, hey, this place is too small, all right? It says, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where they may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." Now let me set this up for you. The whole start of 2 Kings from chapters 1 on are about a group of young prophets that are being trained by Elisha to become great prophets and men of God. And so it's like a bunch of pastors running around following Elisha around learning. Verse 3. "And one of the young prophets said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam," which means to cut, "the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he shewed him the place," we call it showed him the place, "and he cut down a stick and cast it tibba. And the iron did swim." I did all that in King James to get to that point. The iron did swim. Your version may say, "The iron floateth," or float. The real Hebrew word there is that the iron did swim. Verse 7, "Therefore said, 'Ye, take it up thee.' And he put it out of his hand, and he took it." Go with me this morning and think about this as you will, as we reflect. As we reflect what this story means to us, and what does it have to do with the Lord's Supper. And let me kind of tie this together, if I can, for you this morning. See, we read in verse 2, and I love this passage, "Let us," underline us, "we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take thence a man a beam. And let us, make us, a place there." Us. Do you see that in this story here that God has given us, inspired through the Holy Spirit, penned by the Old Testament writers, that God tells us that everybody had a part to play, and today we all have a part to play as we go to what God wants in our life. Let us, the Bible says, go. Let us. everybody, single moms, single dads, young couples, senior adults. We all have a part to play with the story of Heart Cry Church. Remember last Sunday? Be a part of the story. Verse 3 says, and I love this, and one young man said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Young men looking to older men to go with them. Young men wanting to see something great from older men that had happened in their lives in a positive way, not negative, not downcast, but to hold their hand and to show them the way. See, they looked to Elisha and said, Elisha, and if you look in your Bible in 2 Kings 4 and 5 and even 6 and 7, they looked to Elisha and they said, Elisha, we know what you've seen. We know that you have seen all kinds of stuff. We know that the widow's son that was dead, you resuscitated and brought him back to life. Oh, Elisha, tell us more about that story. Oh, Elisha, tell us in 2 Kings earlier about the poison that was in the stew and that we all ate as young prophets and we were all but at the edge of death and then you prayed and put some stuff in the stew and we all became healed. Oh, Elisha, tell us of the great things in the past. Oh, Elisha, tell us about how you took 20 loaves of bread and fed thousands of men, much like we saw later in the New Testament. Elisha, tell us how you multiplied 20 loaves and fed us all. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 5 that there was even more loaves left over than when they started. Oh, Elisha, tell us in chapter 5 how Naaman the great general was healed from leprosy. Oh, Elisha, walk with us and help us see God in our generation like you saw Him in yours. I challenge you, people that are older, I say, to walk with the young people that maybe don't look or talk or act like us. But let's go to them and show them the great things that God has done for us in our lives. Just like the Bible says here. This next part, as I break it down quickly, verses 4 and 5. So he went out with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, and he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I asked my wife yesterday, I said, are people going to think I'm crazy if I bring an axe into church? Nobody watched any scary movies this weekend, right? All right. Man, you guys are not with it today. Better wake up or we're going to go longer. All right. This is an axe, and this is iron. And as I read this passage, I thought, big deal. He was chopping the wood, and it fell into the water. Go to Walmart and get another one. I got a better idea. Call the government. They'll bail you out. All right. I'm seeing if you're awake. I don't need to work. I'll go to work. No, I won't go there. All right. He was swinging this. And the iron actually, and because now I've graduated, I've learned how to research. Iron was made in the 1220 B.C., they invented iron. And the Phoenicians invented it. They invented how to make it. But the Phoenicians were kind of like the Phoenixans, and they were kind of set apart from the rest of the country. And the Phoenicians would not share how they made this. And so it wasn't really rare. It was just really hard to get. And Walmart, I found out, wasn't open yet. And this passage in 2 Kings is in the 8th century. So about 800 years B.C., 400 years after this was made, it was really hard to get because of the Phoenicians. It was available, but very rare. It was available, but very expensive. Oh, master, I borrowed it because I couldn't afford it, and I'll probably never see one again, and it fell. Oh, it was supposed to come off. And it fell into the water. Now, liberals love this passage, and this is the only thing you'll ever hear me agree with liberals about. All right? Iron floateth notteth. I agree with that. When the liberals come to me and say, oh yeah, Pastor, 7 Kings, you know, yeah, the iron floated. Yeah, right. It doesn't float. And I go, yeah, you're right. And they go, oh, we agree on something. Can we just hug and get along? But that's as far as it goes. See, the liberals will tell you that Elisha took a piece of wood and he got on his waders and he got down in there and he finally found it. What's the Bible say? The Bible said it turned into Michael Phelps and did the backstroke. He was swimming. That's what it says. It floated. It swam. Here I am, right? See, the liberals will try to tear us up on this. But don't believe them. The Bible says it floated. Floated. It's floated like Ivory soap. All right. When I was in Alaska last year, I was with a guy named Scott, and he just got married, and he had his wedding ring, and he was all excited. And about the fourth day, we were both kind of dirty and smelly. We found a nice little creek. And I said, man, there's my shower, because I need 4 a day. So I went over there, and we were washing up, and the ivory soap would float on that. But anyway, he was washing his hands, and because the water was like 20 below, I think, it was like slushy, it had ice in it, his ring fell off. And we saw it go, and it was gone. And he was like, oh. He'll probably hear this, and he's going to laugh. He was like, oh, and we looked and looked and looked. And his wife was out on the mules, and he's like, what are we going to tell her? And I said, man, I ain't telling her nothing. That's, you lost it. You know, any wife that can ride the mules, I ain't telling her nothing. You know, that's up to you. The same wife that we were in the middle of the tent that night, and a grizzly bear came in, and he said, her name's Lisa. Hey, Lisa, wake up. There's a bear. That's how tough she is, all right? There goes his ring. He says, what are you going to do? I says, we need to pray that it'll float like the iron float. He said it was gold. It never said gold would float. I said, well, you got a point. But we did. We prayed. We never defined that for about 4 days. The fifth day we were coming out, leaving Alaska, and his wife goes over and goes, is this where you lost it? And he goes, yeah. She goes, it's right there. She reached out and picked it up. She found it. We said, we knew you'd find it. Praise God. This iron floated up, the Bible says, and swam. It swam. Check this out. I want you to write this down. I think it's going to be up on the board. God does not measure duty by ability. Some of us need to write that down this morning. God does not measure duty by ability. In other words, let me put it in English for you. God does not ask people to do something people are equipped to do. God does not ask people to do something people are equipped to do. People, we can't reach America and the world for Jesus Christ, but He can. People, we can't go next door and build buildings and do stuff, but He can. We can't do anything apart from Christ, the Bible says in John 15:5. But God calls us to perform the impossible. Listen to me. God calls us to perform the impossible. God calls us to do that. And if God can cause the iron to swim, this church must decide this today. Is this God, the same God who made the iron to swim, the same God today here at Heart Cry Church? He is. And we need to remind us that. Quickly, two things, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Number one, are you willing to confess that you've lost your spiritual edge? As I pray through this and ask God, God, why did you give me this with the Lord's Supper? Why this passage? Billy, are you willing, is your church willing to confess that you've lost your spiritual edge? Look at verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out. He shouted out. He vocalized, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Alas, master, I need help. In my 6 years plus now of ministry, I've had marriage difficulties with people. I've had people come to me with parent and children issues, difficulties. I've counseled people with financial issues. But I can never think of one time where I've counseled somebody that has told me, I've lost my spiritual edge. And I think the Bible today calls us, before we do the Lord's Supper today, to ask ourselves, are you willing to confess that you've lost your spiritual edge? Are you willing to confess that you need God to help you find that edge? See, this thing right here is kind of worthless without this on it. This is what chops. And this is what is effective. But some of us have lost our spiritual edge. He could have said, and here's what I've heard before, he could have said, that's a sign from God for me to stop chopping trees. I'm done working. I've sweated enough. I've labored and I'm done. Oh, God, thank you for the sign. Come on, you guys, you've heard people do that. I'll let someone else do the work. God must be letting somebody else get the blessing. I don't need to do anything else. It's much easier for me just to let someone else do it. And what I've learned through this passage is this, and write this down or think about it. It is much easier to look back at what the hand of God has done for you than it is to have vision and look forward. It's much easier to say, I remember when God released me from this, but can I really go build buildings or expand the church or reach the world for Christ? It's much easier to look back than it is to look forward. And if I can't see, and I can't see how God is going to do it, then I won't go. This week I had somebody tell me that. Dude, I don't know how we can do it. I don't know why, or there's no way, so we're not going to go. Breaks my heart. Or he could have just banged on the tree without the axe head, made a bunch of noise. Yeah, they think I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm making some noise. See, there are a lot of folks who make a lot of noise, but they don't have anything to show for it. There's a lot of movement by folks, but not much might. There's a lot of energy put out by some people, but very little effectiveness. There's a whole lot of doing, but not much dynamic going on in God's churches today. Amen? A lot of noise and never a produce of anything for the kingdom of God. Hear me today, people, before we take the Lord's Supper in just a minute. Are you personally ready to come to the altar and confess that you've lost your spiritual edge? Will you rise up and meet the challenge wherever it is? Number two, and we're done. Are you committed? It's on the board. Are you committed to doing your part? Heart cry, are you committed to doing your part? And a man of God said, where fell it? Elisha said, where'd it go in at? Where'd it go underwater in 2 Kings 6, verse 6? And he shooed him, and that means showed him the place. He said, it went in right there. And Elisha walked up, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it into the place, the Bible in King James says, thither. He cast it thither. And the iron did swim. And when the iron came up, verse 7, therefore he said, you take up thee. And he put out his hand and took it. God had the iron swim. But God said, you pick it up and put it on. You secure it back on the piece of wood. You do what you can do so I can do, God says, what I can do. Are you committed to doing your part at Heart Cry Church? Are you ready to pick it up and secure it? See, God caused the iron to swim, and he could have done, I thought about this. God, why didn't you just have it like come up and I have the guy like standing there with a stick and have it go shunk, and then he'd go, wow. Right? That'd be pretty cool. And then I got to thinking about the New Testament with Jesus. You remember when Lazarus died in John 11:39? Lazarus was dead, and the Bible said he stinketh. He was dead 4 days, and when you do that, you stinketh. And Jesus walked up to the rock. Read this in John 11:39. Now, Jesus, there was a rock in front, because the stinketh wouldn't come through the rock, and Jesus says, hey, you and you and you, go move that rock. And when they moved the rock, Jesus says, hey, come hither forth. And he came out from a whole nother, listen to me, he came out from a whole nother world. He was what the Jews would call paradise. He wasn't even here, he was gone, man. And God said, come hither. And he walked out, and I got to thinking about it. God, why didn't you, it's a good thing I'm not God. Let's put it that way. God, I would have said, rock flyeth. And the USS Enterprise would have went, you know, I mean, it would have been out there, man. But God said, no, you move it. Now, could have God thrown it up into outer space? Yes. God can do whatever God wants to do. But God said, you move the rock, and I'll do the rest. God says, Heart Cry, you do what you can do, and then I'll do what I can do. But first, you do what you can do. Have you lost your spiritual edge? Are you making a lot of noise? Or is this back in the closet and you don't even know where it is, your spiritual edge? Are you willing to do your part? I have a question for you this morning. Do you believe the iron can swim? I do too. I do. Do you believe that your iron can swim? I do. Have you forgotten that God can cause the iron to swim? Some of us have. Some of us rely on what we can do and not what God can do. And this morning, I'm going to ask just for a little bit of music, because before we take the Lord's Supper, the Bible tells us we need to reflect.
reflect. And this was, hear me, such a common, simple miracle. That was simple. They had already seen the dead rise. They had seen the poisoned people live. They had seen the people fed. They had seen women cleansed. And then the iron swimmeth was no big deal. And as God spoke to my heart, He said this, our God doesn't just deal with great affairs of great nations. He cares for you. You. Our God deals with us and me and you personally. Hear me today, people. And when there's a genuine need in our life, one of His children are hurting, one of His children are in need, God will make the iron float. And one day God looked down in the midst of His people. And God said to Himself, I think He probably did this, He probably said, my people need a stick thrown in their midst to give them hope. And just like Elisha threw a stick into the Jordan in the midst of the people, God threw a stick into the midst of His people, and it was a cross. And when that cross came down in the midst of His people, Jesus said, I can do all things if you'll abide in Me. And that cross was a place where later Jesus Christ would die. And He died for you and He died for me. That's how great our God is. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not ever perish, but have everlasting eternal life. God wants to do a miracle in your life today. But God has shown me, and I'm showing you, two things. Are you willing to confess that you've lost your edge? And are you committed to doing your part? Everybody stand. And if you can answer yes to those two, I want you to come to the altar today. And maybe someone's here today that's never received this Christ that I'm talking about. Maybe today someone has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. This cross. And I am asking you, if God is talking to you, God, the Bible says in John 6:44, He will poke at you and He will urge you to make a decision. You'll feel a nudge from God. You can't do it on your own. You need God. And if God has called you and nudged you to make a decision not only to receive Him, but maybe God has nudged you today to admit and confess you've lost your spiritual edge, and if you ask for it back, it'll float. And will you do your part? Will you give and serve and spread the precious seed of God's Word? Father God, I pray that we would have courage today to give our lives to You in total surrender. And Father, I ask You today, make the iron float. Show us, Lord, Your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come? I'm going to ask my family to join me down here, and we're going to pray at the altar. And I pray that you will too. Will my family please come?